Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Picking a college, yep, it's a big-time decision, potentially a life-changer. No pressure there or anything. Thousands of high school seniors around the metro will be contemplating this decision over holiday breaks. Application deadlines are looming. Dr. Wes Crenshaw has some advice when it comes to all of this, and that is don't let emotion dictate the decision. He says one key is to know yourself and what your capabilities are. Today, a conversation about this all-important decision. Dr. Wes Crenshaw writes Double Take in the Lawrence Journal World and blogs for Your Teen and ADDitude magazines. He's the author of I Always Want to Be Where I'm Not, Successful Living with ADD and ADHD. Dr. Wes? Wes, good to have you here.
Hello, sir. Always nice to be here this season.
Katie Gayo has contributed to the show several times. She's a sophomore at Kenyon College in Ohio, and she's co-authoring a book with Wes entitled Consent-Based Sex Education, Guiding Kids in an Internet Age. And Katie, welcome back to you, too.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Kyra Haas is co-authors of Double Take column. She's a senior at Free State High School in Lawrence and currently is in exactly the situation we're talking about today, which is picking a college. And Kyra, nice to have you too. Welcome.
Thanks. Good to be here too.
So Kyra, how does it feel? The pressure is on or how are you feeling?
Right now, I don't think the pressure is too bad. If you'd asked me a week ago when I was trying to fill out an application essay, eat my third bowl of cereal, and rip out my hair all at the same time, I would have had a different answer. But right now, it's mostly just a waiting game. I've applied to all of my schools that I'm planning to apply to, and I'm waiting to hear back. And I think I've narrowed it down enough that I'm comfortable going to any of the ones that I've applied to.
How many schools have you applied to?
Just five.
Just five.
Yeah.
But it sounds, you know, in my generation, that's a lot. I applied to one and I was lucky I probably got in. But you went for five.
I did. And I narrowed it down from about 15. And I guess five sounds like a lot, but I know a lot of people who applied to like 10 or 12. And so I guess compared to my peers, I feel like I haven't applied to too many.
Well, Katie, kids these days apply to more schools than they used to, right? Do I have a sense of that?
Definitely. Right? I remember going on tours at colleges and talking to people who had applied to 15 schools. And so I asked one girl, well, which ones did you apply to? And she got to about nine before she said, and I can't remember the other ones.
How many did you end up applying to?
Seven. So just two more than Kyra. But of course, you can only end up going to one. So you have to narrow them down at some point.
That's a lot of schools.
It is. It's a lot to keep track of. It's a lot of essays to fill out. And it's also a lot of information to keep track of just as far as like what schools have which programs, what schools are offering you, what kind of money.
And you applied to seven because why?
You want to spread
your risk a little bit?
I guess I was concerned that I wasn't going to get into the ones that I really wanted to go to, but I was also very undecided. I ended up picking my current school only 3 days before the deadline to enroll. I had no idea where I was going to go, and I wanted to wait to see the kind of scholarships I would get.
Yeah.
And also, I wanted to visit them again, and I knew I wasn't going to have time to do that until after I applied.
So of the seven you applied to, Katie, you got into how many?
I actually got into all seven.
She's
Katie.
All seven.
No,
guys,
don't
she's
laugh
Katie Gill.
At me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so you had your choice of a whole range, and so you bought yourself some more time. That allowed you to go visit over the holidays maybe
right,
at this time
right.
A couple years ago?
Yeah, I actually ended up applying in January. All of my deadlines were January 15th, which was kind of unfortunate because all of my friends had been done since November, and here I was in December stressing out. But in January and February, my mom and I raced across the country to try to see all of these schools, and then I ended up deciding in April.
And before you tell us, I've already mentioned where you went, but how difficult of a decision was it for you to narrow that seven down to one?
I remember I narrowed it down to three by looking at the scholarships and academic opportunities and thinking, okay, these three are clearly better than the others, so I'm not going to look at the others. But then I did some soul searching in a hotel room near Smith College and sat on the floor and kicked my mom out of the room for a while and had a little internal crisis before magically, not really magically, but intellectually and emotionally decided on Canyon College.
Yeah. Cairo, walk us through, we'll talk a little bit more about why you picked that school. But Cairo, walk us through the deadlines here. You've applied to 5 schools.
Yes.
And have you heard back from any of them yet?
I've heard back from 3.
And what did you hear?
All good news.
All good news.
Yeah.
They all accepted you then, eh?
Yes.
And the deadline for getting those apps in was when?
Well, I early actioned to Emerson, and so that deadline was November 1st. And then the other ones are kind of staggered from there to, like, December 15th and, like, January 1st. I just wanted to get them all out of the way as soon as possible so I could focus on doing scholarship applications throughout the rest of the year.
So college applications is one step, and then scholarship applications are another step.
Yes.
And that's a lot of papers, a lot of essays, a lot of thinking, right?
Yes, it is a ridiculous amount of paperwork and essay writing.
And you're doing this while you're juggling your last most important semester of high school, right? I mean, this is the one, this semester still counts, I think.
Right. And I think it'll be okay this next semester because really it's just applying for scholarships. But first semester was a little rough managing all of that and also my classes.
Mm-hmm. And what did you, were you weighing when you decided to apply to the schools that you applied to? What were you aiming for here?
Well, I've known what I wanted to go into since I was like in sixth grade. I want to go into journalism, and I knew I wanted to go into something else as well, but I wasn't sure.
There was something I liked about you. Yeah.
But I started looking probably in like ninth grade, and I came up with a list of 15 schools. My mom gave me this giant book of like 400 of the top colleges or something, and I worked through that and narrowed it down to 15. And since then, I've kind of narrowed it down based on like what financial aid I can get and like how good their program is and how far away it is from home. And I did some college visits and just tried to figure out what environment I felt most comfortable in, and that narrowed it down to those 5.
I mean, just hearing you guys talk brings back memories for me when my oldest son applied. And what strikes me about the process is it is so laden with stress
because there
are so many variables here, so much to consider. Wes, when we think about stress here, we're talking about applying for college. I mean, those two things are synonymous, right?
Absolutely. And I can attest, Kyra also works for me. She's an intern in my office. And I can attest that I hear from Kyra every day during this season. And there's something different in her texts, and it is just thick with stress. And I don't remember, Katie, I don't remember you being as stressed. Were you? Did you, like, not make it as clear to us?
I'm not sure if I showed you my stress quite as much, but I also ended up doing a lot of my application process over the summer because I was very stressed, and so I wrote my application essays in August.
Which is advice that a lot of people take because it's such a good idea to get that big lug out of the way early, right?
It's difficult to start. It's really difficult to get the motivation to do that over the summer, but it does make your life so much easier when school rolls around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Katie was always really good at early deadlines. Like, you would give her a deadline of Thursday, and she would have it in Sunday.
Well, those were the days. Now I'm in college.
Yeah. But the number of wild cards here, just Wes, strike me as so great. I mean, it's distance from home, difficulty of the school, financial aid possibilities, the size of the school, the environment, the community the school is located in, its reputation. I mean, there's so much. You're playing chess on 5 levels here.
Well, you're right. And then there's this other factor that is subordinate over everything, and that is, I'd said in the column last week that one of the dumbest things that we do in society is have 17-year-olds make decisions about their career and college path at a time when that's just not really even developmentally possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so this sense of stress, it's that not only are the kids having to factor in every one of those variables that you're describing, they're having to do it at a time when they are far from fully developed and they don't have all of those kind of crisis management skills. And they feel, and we imply, if not tell them overtly, this is the most important decision of your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary. And you said it reminded you of when Nick was going up for college. It just I feel anxious just being around all these kids
this
time of year because I know what they're going through. And it's so much more difficult and more frightening today than it was in our day and age. And I think some of that's a social construction. I don't think that that's necessary, and yet we're really putting that on kids at this age.
Because we're telling them it's so important, yes. This affects the rest of your life. Well, okay, so it's too much too soon for kids to deal with at age 17 or 18. So what should the system be? I mean, what should be happening ideally, in at least from your vantage point, Wes?
Well, it is what it is. And there's almost no escaping from it unless we do some massive reset on our entire matriculation of teenagers to adulthood right now. The outcomes for this, as we've talked many times before in past years, are terrible. We have like a 40% dropout rate in college. And there was a really good show on Here and Now last week with a person whose name escapes me, but Robin interviewed him. And they talked about how farcical a lot of our process is for getting through college, how it's failing kids. But we're not in a position in this society to really change that very much. So we have to learn how to help kids deal with it. And at the top of the list is another developmentally inappropriate thing, and that is to ask kids to do the best they can to know themselves at this age, to think, who am I? Where will I fit in? Both of the young women you could hear talking about those variables. Where do I fit best? Big college, little college, who am I? And this is – to be self-aware at 17 is a mighty Herculean task.
Well, let's talk about, you know, one of the options that's out there for all high school seniors who are interested in going to college is this idea of taking a year off. What's it called? It's called a
– gap year.
Gap year. Okay. And yet, Shawnee Mission East always puts out a list of in the newspaper, the Harbinger newspaper at Shawnee Mission East, and they list all the kids, the high school seniors, and where they're going. And at the bottom of the list is always a little category for kids who are taking a year off. And I don't remember the exact numbers, but it's always something like one kid or three kids in this massive high school senior class who are taking a gap year. And I'm wondering, Katie, why don't more kids take gap years given what Dr. West just laid out here?
You know, I have two friends at school who took gap years, and they, you know, they're just like the rest of us. They do the work. You wouldn't know that they were a year older. And they did valuable things with their time in their gap years. Both of them traveled and got jobs and learned a lot about themselves, as Wes was saying, got to know themselves a little better. But I think there's a tremendous pressure to go to college and be able to tell your friends and relatives and teachers, I am going to this college after I graduate and I'm going to do things. And people tend to assume that when you're taking a gap year, it's maybe because you can't handle college yet or you're not ready. And maybe that's true for some people, but I think that it's very undervalued, this idea of taking a year off from school and going through the system in order to do something else and maybe get a job that teaches you what you want to do with college and where you want to go.
Kyra, it just strikes me that there's a little bit of a stigma, maybe even a negative stigma attached to gap years, that it's not sort of the cool thing to do. It's as Katie was just saying, it's a sign that maybe you can't handle something yet. Am I right about that?
Oh, you're definitely right.
Yeah.
I think if I were to announce, oh, I'm not going to go to college next year, I'll go the year after, I think people would be like, oh, well, what happened? Like,
yes.
What's wrong with you? What's happened? Did you get rejected? Or, you know, I think they wouldn't think that I was just trying to get to know myself better, have different experiences, because it's so expected for you to take that next step.
What's the logical fallacy in that, even though I totally agree it's the perception people have, is there's a whole lot of people taking gap years out there because they flunked out of their first year of college or did not like it or came home emotionally broken. Those people end up taking a gap year, but not with any sense of joy in it to say, hey, I'm just going to take some time off. They come back feeling defeated. And that's not a good position to stick kids in.
Yeah. Well, let me get our listeners involved here. I'd like to know about maybe if you're a high school senior or if you're already in college, how you went about the process of picking the school that you picked. And what do you think of gap years? Good idea or not? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888, or tweet us at KCUR up to date. Well, the other thing that you talk about, Wes, is this notion of, and this is sort of the crux of what we wanted to talk about today, of which is that you don't want kids to focus on and rely too much on emotion when it comes to making this very important decision. What do you mean by that? Because it strikes me there's always some aspect, some component of emotion involved in any decision like this.
Sure. And it, you want to feel right at the college, and you want to be somewhere that's going to support you emotionally and mentally. But that is the decision to find that place is an intellectual decision. And there are a long list of emotional choices people make about college that don't work out well. One, and perhaps the most common, is that you, you know, like the sports team, or you think the Jayhawk is sexy or whatever. That's a fine thing to go wave the wheat. But if you do it because it's KU and you just have always loved it, that may not be the best match for you. Maybe you don't do as well at a big university where people have 1,000 folks with them in a lecture class, and you haven't thought about that.
But how do you know whether you do well in that environment or not?
That is the conundrum of knowing yourself at this age.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is maybe you find out KU is a perfect fit for you, or UMKC, or anywhere else, because you've thought it through and it feels good too. Great. Too many people just go because it feels good, or and they don't like it, or their parent went there, or the parent wants them to be in a certain kind of university setting, mm-hmm. Division I, or maybe they want them in a small private college. And this all goes down to differentiation, the idea that people are not just replicants of their parents or of their social group. They have to really think, who am I? How do I fit? And not just go with what feels right, because that tends to, you know, it feels good to get into an Ivy League school. That feels great. But have you thought through whether you belong there or not, whether that's going to be the place for you?
But you hear so many kids, and maybe we had an experience like this too, where you go to small town schools, which might be great fits in some ways. And Nick, you know, we got out of the car and he took a look around and said, nope. Not going to work. Then we went to a medium-sized market like Creighton up in Omaha. You know, he looked around. He liked it, but nope. You know, then we went to Chicago, and every light bulb in his head went off. This is where he wanted to be, and it's based strictly on how he felt, you know, looking at the scene, and, you know, it's some consideration for the school and walking around there, but it was just a gut feel for this is the world he wanted to spend his time in.
Yeah, and I would say that was a more intellectual choice than you realize.
Okay.
Because he had he went to these different places, and mm-hmm. he thought, is this where I belong? Nope. Is this where I belong? Yes. And, yeah, I love DePaul. I, you know, eat pizza there all the time, so that would be on my list. If you go through a decisional process instead of just emotionally reacting, like he didn't go to Wisconsin because you went there.
Right.
Did he even look at Wisconsin? Did he even go to Madison?
I haven't even taken him up there yet. Yeah. I haven't been in my alma mater in 25 years.
Oh
I need to go sometime.
I've been there many times.
Wonderful place. Yeah.
But it's that he's going through a decisional process. And of course, part of that is how it feels. I recommend that. If you're sitting in the class and it has 900 students and you think, yeah, I like this setting, great. But if you're not thinking that through, you're just reacting to what somebody tells you, or all your friends are going to D1 schools, so you better go to a D1 school. You see this all the time. And you've got to really individuate and think, this is me.
Let's go to some phone calls here. And let me go to Kaya from Olathe. Am I saying that right, Kaya?
Yes.
Great, great. Welcome to the show. It's nice to have you.
Thank you so much.
Go ahead.
So I guess my thing, we were talking about gap years.
Yes.
And when I first graduated from high school, I took a gap year.
Good for you.
And now I'm 21, and I'm still in my gap year. So I guess my concern is for people like me who said, oh, well, I'm not ready to go to college yet. I don't know what I want to do. I'll take a year off work, and all of a sudden now I'm a grown-up, and I don't know how to go back to college now that I'm 21, and I know what I want to do. But I'm stuck in that loop where I have to work to pay bills, and I have to pay bills, and I have to work to go to college, but I don't have enough money left over. So I guess my question is, are gap years really that important for the majority of people? Excuse me.
Hi, I'm really glad you called. What a great point. And stay on the line with us for a minute, too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, are you not eligible? Do you make too much money to qualify for any financial aid?
So at this point, I'm actually like in a weird place. My grandparents have offered me the opportunity of a lifetime, which is to pay for me to go to school.
Sold.
So that I can get
go
out of
for
this
it.
Rut. I know. Get out of this rut of working for minimum wage and still trying to live paycheck to paycheck and end up going to school. So, but before all that happened, you know, 2 weeks ago as my Christmas present, it was like I just didn't know what to do. I didn't think that I was able to go to school and still work full time and still be able to live on my own. So and I think it scared me too much, so I didn't try.
I think that you have self-diagnosed beautifully. That's what I was exactly trying to figure out, because most urban colleges, I don't know what the number is for UMKC, but I have a master's from Wichita State, and the average age of an undergraduate at Wichita State is 27 years of age.
Wow.
And I'd be curious if somebody knows the number at UMKC.
Yeah, I would be too.
Because urban schools are going to have more returning age students, and you're actually pretty young. Even to be a returning age student, you would fit in very easily. And I think that, you know, if the one catch is when you've been out on your own for 2 or 3 years, sometimes it's hard to make the sacrifices necessary to be a student. And I have quite a few people your age who have moved home with parents. And on other shows, we've, you know, kind of set the rules for that and warned about it. But the best reason to live with parents is to go to college. It's not to work at Taco Bell. Living with your parents to work in fast food is kind of not the point. But if you're doing something to advance your life, a lot of times that's the best way to do it. Or you do have to take financial aid, just like so many other students do. You're still eligible for whatever you would be eligible for with your wage, what it is. So, yeah, I think sometimes we just get some inertia built up. And if you have the vocational identity now to know what you want to do, I think hug the grandparents and head for the class.
I hope that helps, Kaya.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, good luck to you, okay? Okay.
Thank you. Have a wonderful holiday.
Bye-bye.
We can't let anybody else with a K name on the show. Katie, Kyra, Kaya, no more K.
Well, here's Kanan from Kansas City, Missouri. Kanan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Steve. And I start with a C at least.
Oh, good. We're saved.
Number one, I'm an adult setting for my undergrad. I believe gap years are a very good thing for kids because of the reasons that you've expressed. Fred, I forgot the rest of my statement. What was it? Oh, I also believe that going to a two-year college for your mm-hmm. core classes
yeah.
Can be a great experience as well, because you're in smaller classes. You're getting most of the classes that you're going to need to finish your degree anyways, and you don't have to declare a major.
Mm-hmm.
Right off the bat.
I completely agree. So, we have the great luxury on my side of state line of having Johnson County Community College, which is kind of like the Harvard of junior colleges.
Yeah.
And it's a terrific way to get a lower cost education, to get basic classes out of the way. They have some very good teachers there who are very involved with students. And I've just had almost nothing but good luck working the model you're describing.
Yeah. I mean, it was really good for me. I mean, especially since I was a single parent when I went back to school, and it's taking me 20 years to get my degree. But the point there is I'm getting my degree.
Good for you.
Yes.
Good for you. Absolutely.
You proved the point we were making in the last call. Way to go.
All right. Thank
Kanan,
you.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Jim from Pleasant Hill. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm well, Jim. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Same to you. I thoroughly enjoy your show every time I get a chance to listen.
Thank you.
I'd like to say that when I finished high school, there's no way in the world that I was ready for college,
yeah.
And I knew it. I went into the Navy, spent 4 years in the Navy, got out of the Navy, went to Kansas City Junior College over on 39th Street, finished that. UMKC just became UMKC, so it became affordable. I went there, got a bachelor's degree, and then went on, got a master's degree from Claremont. And that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't gone in the Navy and seen all these officers running around with those Annapolis rings.
Yeah.
made me think I needed to get one of those if I was going anywhere.
Hey, Jim, are you comfortable giving us your age?
My age?
Yes.
Currently 73 and counting.
Okay, good
for
you.
That's what I calculated.
I don't fit into the adolescent. I was helped out because I got the GI Bill when everything popped.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Between that and working, I did pretty well.
Yeah. Katie, do you want to hop in here? I couldn't tell.
I was just interested in your experience because I have a single friend who came to college after going into the Navy specifically. And I think that's a less and less common experience, but he loved it. And he said that it really helped him to, figure out where he wanted to go. I think he's 24 right now, but he's a junior in college right now and thought that that was a really valuable experience for him as well.
Hmm.
The Navy helps you to grow up forcefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I think if you take the learning that the military teaches you and apply it to a college degree, it's invaluable. Too many times, however, we see young people who have been in the military and get out and don't really have job skills that work in the marketplace. This is why we're seeing so much unemployment amongst vets. But if it's a stair step into college, it has been so for you, it was for my dad, and it has been for thousands and thousands of other people.
Jim, I'm glad you called. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. And let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll continue our good conversation about how to pick a college and how you all picked a college. What did you consider as you went through that process? 816-235-2888. When we come back, we'll talk about should you know what you want to do with your life before you go off to college. Again, 816-235-2888. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. This hour, we're talking about the whole art and science of picking a college. This is the time of year when so many high school seniors in the metro, they're spending their holiday breaks thinking about this very, very big decision. We're visiting with Dr. Wes Crenshaw, who writes the Double Take column in the Lawrence Journal World. Katie Aguillo is also with us. She's going to school right now at Kenyon College in Ohio. And Kyra Haas is going to making a decision right now. She's going to high school at Free State High School over in Lawrence. Again, our phone number, 816-235-2888. And Wes, you had some pretty impressive news this week as far as the column goes and your team are concerned. What are you hearing about some of your contributors right now?
Yeah, we had quite a contest this year. As we mentioned, Kyra is already accepted into Emerson, but she modestly left out that she's one of only 50 students accepted into their honors program, and they gave her a big, big, big scholarship to go there. So it's way better than she made it sound. And then in the same week, the runner-up to the column, who's also been on this show, Sarah Lieberman, was accepted into Cornell, and right after her, Kenneth Palmer, who was another runner-up and has been on this show twice, was accepted into Harvard. So I often jokingly say I know the smartest teenagers in the metro. I think it's more literal than I ever realized.
Well, you come on public radio, you go to the Ivy League schools. Those two things go hand
exactly.
in hand.
Exactly. And I think everyone who's been on this show will end up in an Ivy League school.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the other big question to talk about maybe in our second half here, which is this question of should you know what you want to do with your life before you go to college, and what if you don't? Should you wait? Wes, weigh in here with that one.
Well, there are two schools of thought, and I will admit it's a complicated answer. On one hand, the idea has been since pretty much this last century, much of the last century, that college was this place to go and sort of live the life of the mind, and you would discover things about yourself that you could use over a lifetime and also in your career. And that's very beautiful, but it has moved increasingly towards the second school of thought that you should see it at least in large part as vocational training, small v. Katie and I used to debate this in the column two or three times a year as to where you should put your focus under those two schools of thought. And as the old crotchety practical person, I was arguing that you should be very much thinking about how you're going to get a paycheck out of this. And Katie at 17 was like,
run with your dreams. I'm sort of exaggerating.
Oh, thank you.
It would be much more refined than that. It was that you need to pursue things that you're most interested in and that you really love. And I think there is you have to reach a dialectical synthesis of those things. You can't hate a job you're in, but if you love to weld and you're great at welding and there's no job for welders, which, by the way, there are a lot of jobs for welders, then it's not something the market is friendly to. Mm-hmm. And so going to college to discover yourself has some benefit, but if you have no idea why you're there, you wake up in a dorm room and you're like, how'd I get here? That's not going to turn out well, I suspect.
Mm-hmm. Kyra, you know what you want to do. You want to be a journalist, right?
Right.
What kind of journalism do you want to do?
And see, that's about where it ends. And
okay.
I know, like, I have a general idea of what I want to do, but I'm not sure, like, beyond news and information, where specifically I want to go into.
But at least you have an idea. You have some sense of what you're doing.
Well, and it's so hard to know, as you know better than anyone. She and I were just having lunch on this yesterday. We don't know where journalism's going to be in 5 minutes, let alone 5 years. And so she's probably, in that sense, wise to keep exploring that mm-hmm. discipline and see where it's headed as well as where she's headed. If you have any ideas, feel free to tell us.
Well, learn how to write, learn how to think about the news, and that'll take you a long way in that business. Katie, how about you? Do you have a sense of what you want to do?
I do now. I didn't when I was Kyra's age. You know, I knew that I liked to read and write, but I also liked math and social sciences. Mm. And so I, in large part, picked a liberal arts school because I was not ready to declare a major or go into a specific school of learning right off the bat. And I've since found that, you know, I am minoring in English or possibly double majoring. That's to be determined. But I'm now majoring in economics, which was never on the table for me in high school.
Wow.
So I think that I now know kind of where I want to go. I want to maybe go into government work or nonprofit work or something to do with legislation or public policy.
Wow.
But it's still, you know, it's still pretty hazy and cloudy. And that's probably because I don't know what kinds of jobs are going to be available and what I'm going to be able to get. All I know is that I can maybe try to get the skills or the broad array of skills that I'm going to need.
Well, the question on the table right now is, before you go off to school, should you know what you're going to do with your life or not? How did you go ahead and pick the school that you picked? 816-235-2888. Shannon from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Shannon. Good morning.
So I went to a small school in Vermont, and that was a big change for me in learning how to find myself, is moving away and not going to any school in the area.
This is one of those items that has a lot to do with differentiation from family. That one can go to a college six blocks down the street, as people do in Lawrence, and differentiate from family as long as everybody understands the point of college is to become an adult and individual. Or you can go all the way to Cornell, and if your parents are calling you up all the time and kind of trying to guide every little aspect of what you're doing, you won't have the chance to differentiate. So distance doesn't solve everything one way or the other, but it's something people need to really be aware of and think about how much travel they want to put in to come back and see family, how often they want to do it, and what the costs are going to be.
Shannon?
Yes.
Any thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I spent all 5 years or 4.5 years there, and I rarely traveled to Kansas mm-hmm. City, and it was amazing. It was a great experience to get away.
Yep, makes you stand on your own 2 feet, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Shannon, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Should you know what you're going to do with your life before you go to college? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. What do you guys think about that? Kyra, how do you answer that question?
I think it probably is helpful to have a general idea of what you're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you need to be like, I am going to be this specific occupation, and that's what I'm going to be, and I'm going to go to this college and know exactly what I'm going to do, because I think, like Katie was saying, like it changes because you become more comfortable with who you are and you realize, oh, maybe I'm more interested in this. So I think it's good to have a general idea. And if you don't, then consider taking a gap year or going to like a JUCO for your first couple of years just so you can get more acquainted with yourself.
Hey, how do colleges look at gap years? Are you penalized if you want to take, you get a scholarship coming out of high school, but you say, hey, I want to take a gap year. Will they come take your scholarship away from you?
It varies dramatically from school to school. Many schools will give you a year's deferment and still take you the following year. It's no skin off their nose. Their goal to get you into their school is fulfilled whether you go this year or next. But mm-hmm. some schools won't do that. Some schools still want you to apply. And so, you know, the gap year can be declared or it can be just what you choose to do. You decide not to go till you're 19 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know. Do you guys know if there's any negative valence attached to that?
No, at my school, I think the college actually goes out of its way to make sure that students become incorporated back into the academic system.
Hmm. Katie, how do you come down on this question of do you need to know what you want to do before you head off to school?
I think it would be optimal and great to know what you want to do. I don't think that it's realistic to expect everyone to be able to do that. As we've been saying, often teenagers just don't know themselves,
and I was
one of them. And so yeah. I think the absolute minimum thing that you need to know is you need to know what kinds of classes you want to enroll in so that you begin to learn the skills and the things about yourself that will then lead you to take more specific classes and learn more specific skills.
Yeah.
Well, and I think there are other personality – I totally agree with that. There's some other personality characteristics you can look into yourself and think about. We've talked about introversion and extroversion. You did a show with us on that, Katie. Do I want to be in a really busy workplace where there's lots of people? Do I like that? Or do I want to look at a career where I'm a little more individual? You can Google that, introverted people's careers, and see what are some things that I might be good at from a personality standpoint. The other thing I would say is I agree going to college for a couple of years and really developing your vocational identity is great. By the time you're a junior, time's running, Katie, you're coming up on it. But by the time you're a junior, you should have at least the level of vocational identity that Katie is describing.
Mm-hmm.
Economics, would like to work in nonprofits,
right.
Et cetera. That really helps because many, many, many young people are graduating college today with degrees that do not match the workplace and really don't match them very well.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to some phone calls here. Let's go to Charlene from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. I wanted to make a couple of comments, and I appreciate the comment about the introvert versus the extrovert. I have two children who took a very different path. My daughter went to college at 16, was convinced that she knew what she wanted to do. Her sophomore year went through a lot of soul searching, changed majors, and really found a completely different path. My son didn't want to go to college not knowing what he wanted, and he went to he worked for a couple of years, then went to community college, started studying history. Now he is a graduate student in mathematics. So, very different paths. He had no real clue what he wanted, but the other comment I wanted to make really was that I haven't heard you address the issue of using the community colleges as a way to find that academic identity.
I totally agree. That's a good way to do it. If you are – there's another way to do a gap year if you think of a gap year a little more broadly. And one can work and take some classes,
mm-hmm.
take 3 hours or six per semester. I have relaunched many adults' careers – college careers that way. Let's try this out. There are plenty of online courses, legit online courses from the community colleges that they can start, see how that works, then go do some classes, kind of test out some different topics or different areas of study. And I think the least expensive way to do that is to use community colleges. I think we should also toss in here that trade schools are the wave of the future. Lawrence is building a new high school, technical high school. There are a number of technical high schools here in the metro, and I think this is something we've neglected for years. That's another point they made on Here and Now the other day, that a lot of people are going to do better financially and emotionally and in every other way if they look at trade school as their terminal degree, mm-hmm. as the degree they seek to the end.
Charlene, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And parents, we're wondering, what advice have you been giving your kids who are getting ready for college? 816-235-2888. Let's go to Mike from Overland Park. Mike, you're on Up to Date. We're talking about how to go about the process of picking a college. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
You bet, Mike.
I find it tragic, honestly, that the financial situation in the U.S. in regards to helping students get their degree is forcing this binary choice where students either have to consider going to school as a vocational choice, or they're somehow being impractical, when in fact the whole notion of a college degree, historically speaking, has been for the betterment of democracy, mm-hmm. has been for the betterment of liberalism.
Good
and,
point.
It's really disturbing.
I think conceptually, that's why I was talking earlier about this sort of historic school of thought, that you were really living the life of the mind. And I think that's great. The problem is that society has so completely moved on from that, that the chancellor at KU is having to defend all the arts and all these things the other day, because the legislature wants to fund things that will improve the Kansas economy. And I think it's possible to see both sides of that issue and to understand that they both have value. But in the end, what all of us want for our kids is that they are able to function independently and make a living on their own. And while that shouldn't exclude liberal arts, we're going to have to give kids things they need to get a paycheck at the end. It's, from all practical purposes, apart from a societal perspective.
Mike, thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's go to Jared from Overland Park. Jared, you're on Up to Date.
Hey, how are you doing?
Well, thanks.
Thanks for having me on. I wanted to offer a comment from a slightly theoretical perspective. I was thinking that as a student myself, I go to a small liberal arts school in New York called Vassar, and I'm currently taking a year off. I'm in Kansas City. I think that to encourage students to know what profession they want to practice after school before they go to school actually only encourages them to narrow their horizons and limit their options. I think to expect a high schooler to know what they want to do as a professional career for the rest of their life is kind of unreasonable. And as a student with many interests, I very much enjoy the way liberal arts colleges allow me to explore a diverse array of topics.
And great comment.
It's a great comment. Can I ask you, so what do you plan to do when you get done with college? How are you developing
question.
Vocational identity?
I'd love to answer that. So I came to school interested in a lot of different things, ranging from, you know, English to physics to music and film. And now I study philosophy because that allows me the greatest opportunity to think critically about the world around me and about a lot of topics. And so what I'm looking to do with that is either law, because philosophy prepares you for reading and debating critical opinions, as well as also psychiatry or maybe writing.
Wow, you have a diversity of interests.
You do.
You could be a library.
I really love school.
Yeah, well, and you're probably going to need to get to several of those careers. I think as the one other thing we have to bring up here is that most people have a limit on their financial resources to pursue all of those careers. And in fairness to the people who might, you know, I went to a liberal arts school. I have degrees in political science, sociology, and history. In fairness, though, this is a luxury of the rich. And,
yes, that's very true.
And as taxpayers, we've endowed people who do not have as much money with some additional resources through loans to pursue some of these things. But the problem is then a lot of folks are burdened under $100,000, $150,000 in loans.
Yes.
And we have to think both about the economic benefit and the emotional and cognitive benefits and weigh all those things in together, which is why the decision is so stressful at this point.
Would you mind if I commented on that?
Go ahead.
So I have two quick things to say. One, I think that's a great point. I think we do definitely have to recognize the realistic constraints of the world that we live in, and it's unfortunate that people have to turn to loans. I, for one, am proud to go to a school which claims, at least, to meet 100% of demonstrated financial needs.
It does.
And in addition to that, I think that the comments made a little while ago about a dialectical synthesis of the two different schools of thought, one being prepare for your job and one being expand your mind.
Right.
I think that's a great comment and offers a practical and realistic way to approach the issue.
That's what all the philosophy majors say.
Jared, thank you for calling. I sure appreciate it. Great, great comments. Let's go to Dean from Liberty. Again, our topic today is how to pick a college. Dean, you're on Up to Date.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a 41-year veteran of teaching in a four-year college.
Mm-hmm.
I do take issue with Wes's having said about 1125 that you take those early courses to get them out of the way. Because if you're careful as a wannabe student, college student, you pick a program where those courses are rich because you're building an interior life through your education. And an educated person doesn't just throw courses like dirt before a broom. Not at good colleges like Emerson or Vassar or those your guests have used.
I think we were referencing junior colleges there and being able to take those courses at a lower cost before you move on to a four-year college.
Yeah, moving on is one thing. Getting them out of the way is the other.
I didn't think
that was a good
comment. I don't think that's actually what was said.
It was. And that demeans those early courses. Well, so I'll finish. I'm quitting.
Yeah, I appreciate your comments, Dean. Thank you. Yeah.
We're all, I think, a little puzzled on that one as we're looking at each other. So.
Yeah. In the column, Wes, you also talk about this idea of making a college choice that just doesn't follow the crowd. You've talked a little bit about that here. I assume this has to do with differentiation, too. Where do you see kids going wrong with that the most often? Again, this notion of following the crowd.
Yeah, for kids who are, 17, they're still coming out of a time when social influence of their peer group is pretty high. And so you will see people go to college at KU because everybody in their class is going to KU.
Mm-hmm.
Or they get into a group of people who are all applying – this one's very common – all applying to very prestigious, expensive schools on the East Coast. And so in their peer group, that's the thing to do. And so they all apply that way. And I don't think that's the reason you did that, Kyra. I'm not picking on you.
I am in one of those peer groups. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I do think in fairness, though, Kyra has taken a step back and said, who am I? Just because all of my friends are doing this, what's going to fit best for me? I know because I've heard her processing that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all ways to just follow the crowd, or it may be following a family member. It may be a brother or sister that's gone somewhere. So you think, well, I'll go to that place too. Might that work out okay? Sure. But if you haven't really thought through, like Nick did, this is where I belong, DePaul, Chicago, it's going to probably not be an authentic decision
right.
to you and maybe disappointing down the road.
Alice writes us this: one of the values of college is what you learn outside the classroom and the connections you make. This is why going to a residential liberal arts college can be a life-changing experience. Just taking classes and living at home will not necessarily give you those benefits. Also, too many immature 18-year-olds think of college as a place to be free of parental supervision rather than focusing on studying. Have you found that to be the case?
What a comment to end on. That she summed it up very well. I have nothing to add. Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Katie is an RA. Are you an RA?
Yeah, we call it CA, community advisor, but in any case, residential advisor.
Yeah, so she's not unfamiliar with the problem of young people coming to college and not having supervision.
All right, we have to wrap up our conversation there. I want to thank Dr. Wes Crenshaw for coming in one more time. Katie Geo, again, at Kenyon College. Kyra Haas as well. Good luck with your decision, Kyra. I hope
things
go well.